You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For 76 years, Sacramento State's student publication, The State Hornet, has been the independent voice on campus. What started as a traditional print newspaper is now a digital-first newsroom, with students covering campus life, sports, arts, and education. As classes begin at Sac State, so too does a new chapter for The State Hornet under the leadership of a new editor-in-chief. Delaney Joyce is stepping into that top role at a time when student journalists are covering national issues on a local level, from budget shortfalls and class cuts across the CSU system to immigration enforcement concerns on campus and navigating a politically charged climate that affects students' daily lives. Delaney joins us now with her vision for The Hornet, the role that student media plays in keeping the campus informed, and what readers can expect this semester. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, Vicky. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. It hopefully was a short walk on campus.
Oh, absolutely. That employee parking permit sure goes a long way.
Yes, it does. So I gave a little teaser about what the State Hornet is. The history goes deeper than that. If for listeners who are just learning about the State Hornet on campus, what role does it play at Sac State?
Right. So since 1949, the State Hornet has been the primary voice of students at Sacramento State, covering a range of subjects, like you mentioned earlier, but really putting student voices at the forefront. I think that news publications do a good job at covering community voices, but what Sac State does is really try to hone in on that campus voice and try to uplift the students and their concerns, and also their concerns with classes, with administration, with everyday things such as, when is this event happening on campus? Do I have enough parking for the semester? So it kind of takes those small things and crumples it into one big ball of student concerns and community concerns as well.
Yeah, the campus population is the size of some cities.
Yes, about 30,000 students.
Yeah, so it definitely is sizable. How did you first get involved with The Hornet?
So I first got involved in my sophomore year of college. I'm actually a communication and public relations double major, but I fell into a love for journalism out of an initial love for writing. So I joined college knowing that I wanted to write, knowing that I wanted to communicate in some fashion and be involved in media. But it wasn't until I joined a news writing class where I discovered the State Hornet, and I just thought it sounded like a fantastic way to join an organization and be part of a community. But what I was really after was having published writing to start. My initial hope was that I'd be a published author and that I'd be writing stories and books. But, you know, once that college workload hit, it seemed a little less likely that I'd be able to accomplish that soon. So I went, what's the next best option? So I went into news and I joined the State Hornet. And I was originally in the PR and marketing section for the State Hornet, which was not my first pick because, as I said, I wanted to write. But I made the best of it anyways. And the next semester, I wrote for the arts and entertainment section before becoming an editor in that section. And I just really fell in love with the whole process of journalism, of reporting. I found that my communication style really lent itself to interacting with different groups of people, with telling their stories. And I found that love of journalism through the State Hornet, really.
So what is the journey like going from an arts and entertainment editor to becoming editor-in-chief of the State Hornet?
Right. Yeah, so it's a pretty significant jump, I would say. So arts and entertainment editor, as an arts and entertainment editor, I would, you know, cover events, I'd cover music, concerts. I was able to cover Aftershock last year, which was a lot of fun. So basically anything that has to do with fun things, things that students are interested in, entertained by, shows, movie reviews, anything like that, and managing my staff to cover those things. And actually, as an arts and entertainment editor, I was able to form the first true collaboration with the State Hornet between us and Sacramento News and Review, where we were able to predominantly cover arts and entertainment coverage in the city and have those bylines put on their website as a direct collaboration, which was really cool. And so there was a lot of this really fun stuff and taking photos at concerts, and then suddenly, I find myself at ACP, Associated Collegiate Press Conference, and my advisor sits down next to me and goes, hey, you're going to be a senior next year. Have you thought about applying to be editor-in-chief? And at that point in time, I was like, I don't know. I understand politics. I talk about politics. I'm very familiar with the ecosystem of the campus, but I haven't written many stories in that area. I haven't really thrown myself in there as much as I would have liked to because I've been so immersed in this arts and entertainment world. But when he asked me that, I was planning to study abroad at that point, actually. I was going to go to Spain and go have a fun time there. But him saying that kind of changed everything. I went, okay, well, clearly there is a consideration for me to take this next step. So I decided to start brushing up on politics, brushing up on all of those things that I didn't have the chance to as arts and entertainment editor, and found that I truly enjoyed that as well and felt that I would flourish in a leadership role. And so the change has been difficult, but a lot easier than I think I thought it would be originally. It was a lot of that anticipation anxiety going into a new role. But ultimately, I think that the conversations and environment that I've been in at the State Hornet has prepared me for this role. And I'm very excited to see what happens in that world of leadership that takes me away from the fun stuff and a little bit more into the serious hard work, which I'm very ready for.
Your umbrella just got bigger.
Yes.
So it includes the feature reporting, but of course, you know, serious news as well. As an editor-in-chief for the State Hornet, for those who don't, you know, walk in the journalism world, you're essentially shaping the coverage for the State Hornet, correct?
Yes.
How many reporters do you have? What is your newsroom staff like? And are they all students?
So we are all students, except for our advisor, Fernando Gallo. He's, of course, our faculty advisor, but he's around a lot and being very helpful. But other than that, we have 73 total students on our newsroom staff, with 17 editors, leaving around 56 staff just in charge of writing stories, producing multimedia content, etc. So we have a very, very large staff. And this is actually the largest staff that we've had since 2023. Which puts us, again, above the Sacramento Bee newsroom total. They have around 55 staff, including editors. So we are back on our game as the largest newsroom in Sacramento, which is very exciting. And we have a lot of really talented and motivated people this semester, which is beyond exciting.
Is it challenging managing a newsroom made up of students? Because students have a lot of responsibilities. They're juggling classes. They might have other jobs in addition to reporting. How do you handle all of that?
Right, absolutely. And that's a major concern of students joining the State Hornet is how am I going to be able to balance these things? Because a lot of them have work and school at the same time. And this is a conversation that we have very frequently in the newsroom, as well as when we're training editors on how to deal with their staff. Because typically editors join because they have some sort of surplus of time to spend on training these staff, moderating them, writing their own stories. But these staff might not have dedicated as much time to start. So what it ultimately comes down to is a lot of communication. It's prefacing amount of times, trying to figure out hard deadlines so students are aware of when those deadlines fall and they know what they're getting into. It's also a lot of encouraging collaboration. You know, if a student feels like they don't have enough time to complete something, but they still are very passionate about it, why not do it with somebody else? Why not ask another staffer in a section or beyond to tag along and help you write that story? So it's more of a way of working around that schedule. And instead of saying that you can't do it, it's more, okay, what do you need to make this process easier? We have the benefit of having a larger staff this semester, which ultimately does make it much easier to cover those stories and give enough time to each staff member. But communication really goes above and beyond in that sense. It's just telling the students that they have the ability to tell us that they can't do something or the ability to collaborate and working around that in the way that best suits them.
You know, the fall semester just got started. You just stepped into this role as editor-in-chief. But do you have an idea of the big issues that you want the newsroom to focus on?
Right. So one of our big issues is we want to start focusing on educating the student body on voting choices and upcoming like the Prop 50 vote that's coming up. A lot of students are kind of unaware of what that really means. And
right.
So we want to do
November 4th. It'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely. And so we want to make sure that students are best informed of what that means and what that looks like to them as students from the student perspective. As well as educating them for any possible upcoming vote or election. We want to really focus on letting the students know that we are here to support their educational journey through politics. And on top of that, of course, there is still the looming threat of us, of Sacramento State being put on the list of anti-Semitic colleges from the federal government because of our pro-Palestine encampments. And so that puts a bit of a target on our back, especially as a student publication. And so that's something that we're having to be very aware of, along with the ICE deportations and the concerns from students about their safety, especially at a Hispanic-serving institution, and what safety really looks like and how to navigate that. And so the State Hornet really just wants to make sure that we are making each student feel educated and informed about their rights as students and about their power as voters in this country.
Yeah, a lot of what you're talking about, it gets covered in local news, even nationally. I think about budget cuts across the CSU system, class reductions, tuition increases, new stadium, big sports push from Sacramento State, in addition to immigration, in addition to protests on campus. What is the advantage of covering this from the student perspective at the State Hornet versus going to other local media in Sacramento?
Right. So this is something that we talk about with our friends at other publications a lot, too. And it's often that when, say, a reporter at the Sacramento Bee has a beat that covers things happening at Sacramento State, they're inevitably going to face that roadblock of they're not there on campus 24/7 like we are to see what's going on, to see how students are interacting with each other or interacting with changes being made by administration. So we have that direct advantage of being able to go up to students at any time of day and ask them, hey, what do you think about this? What's your opinion on this? How are you doing as a student right now, financially, mentally, class-wise? Are you getting the classes you need? And we're able to see that ecosystem change over time through being students and through also being part of that system that we are reporting on. And so, of course, you can go to other media outlets to see what's going on. But what they don't have is that primary experience of being on campus, of being central to what's going on and being able to really speak from a true student's voice about what's happening.
It's also important to mention that the State Hornet is independent of the university, correct?
Correct.
And so help us visualize how that works. If you want to talk to the university, do you have to go through the same channels that another reporter would have to go through if they were at the SACB or even, you know, here at Cap Radio, we have to go through an official channel?
Right. So luckily, the State Hornet is at least familiar with several entities on campus, so there is a bit more of a understanding that we will be around to cover certain things. This is usually in the case of events or more lighthearted things happening, or even sometimes press releases or press conferences where, you know, there will be reporters expected to be present. We're kind of more expected in those situations than maybe other media outlets. But there still are a lot of obstacles. I mean, just because we are on campus, like you said, we are still independent of the university, and we are grateful to still be funded by our university and get that support from administration. But of course, we still have to go through certain avenues. We have to talk to certain communications directors. We have to get permission from campus entities in order to cover certain things or even to talk to certain faculty members. So I think that we face a lot of the similar issues that other media outlets have, but we just have that advantage of being a familiar presence on campus and being able to navigate that probably easier than some media outlets because we might have an upper hand on who to talk to or how to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, there have been some campuses, even recently, over coverage of pro-Palestinian protests on their respective campuses of having a tense relationship between the student paper with the university. Have you felt any pressure in that regard in the last couple years that you've been with the State Hornet?
So there's been, I think, a moderate amount of pressure, but I think that the standout thing is that President Wood is very outwardly pro-Palestine compared to other universities and is usually on the side of supporting what's best for students in terms of safety and representation. So especially with our divestments and his just outwardness about not supporting certain things. So I think that as a publication, we don't have to struggle as much with administration as other publications, which is a very fortunate thing to have. But of course, there's always going to be roadblocks in between administration and publications, because of course, publications seek to tell the whole truth, and they seek to tell it even when it's not necessarily framing certain people in the best of lights. And that, of course, I think causes an inevitable strain between any student publication and their administration, because nobody wants to look bad and nobody wants to mess up and have that shown publicly. So it's a difficult line to toe. But I think that we are fortunate to be at a campus that uplifts DEI initiatives so blatantly and is so proud of the student body that we have. And that does enable us to be able to have more diverse coverage with still the support and funding of our administration.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with the new editor-in-chief of the Sac State Hornet, Delaney Joyce. So the Hornet's motto is student news without fear or favor. What does that mean to you?
Student news without fear or favor. It ultimately means that we are here to tell the voice of the student, and that means that we can't be afraid to expose what's happening or tell the truth of what somebody is doing on campus or how certain campus initiatives are being handled. And it also means that we aren't going to show bias to anybody just because somebody may have a friend on student government on our staff. It does not mean that we are going to show any favor towards them. We want to tell the story as the whole truth, and that means being as unbiased as possible and not being afraid to tell that in its entirety, even if it means putting a target on our back. We just want the students to feel heard and represented and like their voices are being listened to.
Yeah, and it's in multiple languages, because you have a Spanish language section as well.
Yes.
Avispón del Estado, the state hornet. What has the response been like to having Spanish language news on campus?
So it's been a very positive response. We actually have a slightly larger Spanish staff this semester, which will be a great addition. But unfortunately, we haven't had as much feedback as we'd like to, just because it can be hard to get staff that know that there is a Spanish section and do feel comfortable speaking and writing Spanish and wanting to do this type of coverage. I think that that is one area where we struggle a bit, is letting students know that there is a place for them to partake in media as Spanish speaking students. And so it grows a little every year. But we ultimately hope to have even greater Spanish broadcasting, writing, reporting, because it's a really important thing as a Hispanic-serving institution, I believe, to have a strong Spanish section that is telling those stories. But the great thing about our Spanish section is that they are kind of a jack of all trades, each of them. They usually know how to write stories. They know how to record videos. They know how to make social media videos, all for the sake of creating content for our Spanish-speaking audience. And I think that that's a great thing. And despite our growing numbers, I do think that the quality of our Spanish section is really remarkable. And I look forward to seeing it grow at my time here.
Yeah, finally, any other changes readers can expect under your tenure as editor-in-chief?
A few changes. This has not been officially announced as a direct plan, but it is something that is currently in the works for the semester. We are planning to start a State Hornet magazine.
Nice.
Which will be a digital magazine for this semester and hopefully move into a printed edition in the spring. We just want to make sure that we get all of the layout, the branding, everything all right this semester before we go into print. But we are very excited to move that forward, because I think that that is kind of a area of publication where it's hard to get experience in it in general. That we have a lot of people that express interest in wanting to work for a magazine. And there still are lots of magazines out there that employ people. But it's hard to get that internship or to get that job at a magazine if you've never worked on one before. So the idea was that we would provide that stepping stone for students to get experience in working on a magazine, or even give an outlet for staffers or other students that are interested in graphic design or visual layout, or maybe they just want to have a print version from their publication again as well. Because that's also expressed a lot of, especially from older students or individuals in the community that say they really miss that tangible physical piece of media. And although it doesn't look like we're going back to newspapers any soon, I think that a magazine is the next best thing for people to feel like they have a state hornet relic in their hand.
Yeah, and a digital magazine. Breaking news on Insight. You heard it here first. Delaney, thank you so much for joining us and stopping by.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vicky. I've really enjoyed my time here.
Yeah, we had a great time. Delaney Joyce is the new editor-in-chief of Sacramento State's student publication, The State Hornet. And just a note, Cap Radio's broadcast licenses are owned by Sacramento State. The university also oversees our finances and approves our expenses. However, it does not oversee our news production or programming, shows like Insight. Still ahead, science cafes are alive and well across the Sacramento region. We'll learn about the newest addition in the capital city. It is called Sacramento Science on Tap. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.